I travel all the way here just for your event. It's so inconvenient for me to come here. Yes. And I sacrifice my dinner time and you have no food for me.
No food.
And it's so overcrowded. Welcome back to the Kiasu Design Life, day 2. So I'm Adila.
I'm Shen. It's good to be back, right?
Yeah, it's good to be back. We had like a 2 weeks break, I think.
2.5 weeks. We're living in another planet in which our one day is equivalent to Earth's 2.5 weeks. So we are at day 2.
Yes, we are at day 2. We were actually deciding whether should we say episode 2 or day 2. Then we decided, let's be different and say day 2 then.
Because we spoke about day 100 in day 1, right? Which is the previous episode, remember?
Oh yeah, we wanted to make a comparison, right? It'll be very interesting for us to explore that. So we want to thank everyone for your support and feedback since the launch of KSDL. Yay!
KSDL. Having acronym means things are official, you know, like
yes,
more formal.
Shen has this thing about acronyms. So in general, we are very thankful to all our friends and listeners who were nice enough to give us some inspiring words and encourage us and even share it on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, especially to LinkedIn. I think I got a lot of traffic from the LinkedIn post. Some of the designers actually shared it. And then even up till now, I get people liking that post. I feel like honored.
But really, there are so much in-depth feedback that we receive, and I was really, really positively surprised. So let us just shed light on the general feedback that we are receiving. So first is the audio quality is top-notch. Yay!
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's one feedback I get from my end. They were saying that, hey Adila, the quality of your episodes are really good. I feel as if you are really crispy. I mean, in terms of the voice.
Crispy. Like... Pringles or Ruffles?
Hopefully my voice is smooth as honey. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Honey, okay. Like yes. Manuka or the normal ones?
Yeah, so they were saying the quality is good and they were surprised by it and it sounds really professional. And I was like saying, of course, how can you do something 6:30? You have to do it properly.
Day 2 only and we are getting our arrogance up already.
So the big question, now that restrictions are lifted, would you get back to networking? What's changed in designers' mindset towards local meetups? Mm.
So what inspired us to do this episode, right? It's a pretty fun story. In day one of Kiasu Design Life, we mentioned that we were online friends. Mm. Then ADP List, for those who don't know, ADP List is a platform to meet and book mentors online. They decided to have a meetup at Shopback office. So for the first time ever, Adila and I decided to meet in person.
Yes.
And we were really excited on top of meeting each other, right? Because it's a large scale meetup in such a long time.
It was the first ADP List meetup. I think it's the first designers meetup in person. The co-founder of ADP List, who is Felix, he was actually there. Mm. I went to him and spoke to him, and then he said that he just flew back 2 days beforehand in time for the event, which is nice.
Mm-mm. Personally, I go there for a few agendas. One is to meet you in person and also meet other friends. The other one is actually the location. So usually, right, such events are held in offices, right? And I'm not sure about everyone, but I'm super capable about office spaces. Yeah, so capable is actually a Singaporean lingo for being nosy. And I always feel that this is a great excuse for me to just feed my curiosity about different office spaces and how people work.
Mm. Yeah, you gave a very good point about visiting offices. From what I can recall, yes, there was one event I went and they did it at the Singapore Google office. So I thought it was really cool. Yeah, so I took picture. I was a bit like a tourist.
So Adila, having been to so many meetups, right, were there any memorable ones?
The ones that I have, this one is very unique. It was at the cafe.
Oh,
yeah, it's at the cafe. Wow. It's very nice. It's very laid back. So the whole point is that you are meeting not just creative people, you are meeting like makers, people who have maybe they build products or they build digital products, and then their founders gather at this cafe, and then there'll be someone playing music, live music, in the background. And you're supposed to be in a group. So each little small group has a theme. Maybe, for example, the theme is about eco-living spaces at offices. And then you in a group, you're supposed to sketch out some ideas. And then you share that. I felt that was a bit unique because it was, I really felt like an in thing to be at a cafe and doing all that. Yeah.
Having it set in a cafe just sets a very casual tone, right? Like, it's not overly formal. Everyone is just there to have fun.
Precisely.
My most memorable conference is actually here in Singapore, called UXSG Conference back in 2016. So reason why I remember it is because the organizer really took deep care in the experience of the attendee. Yeah, which I feel is an easily overlooked area, yet it is crucial. So one thing I remember, because I still keep this in my drawer, is the lanyard they provided at the event. They actually custom designed the lanyard, so it has two layers, like two flaps, and the cover is definitely your name. But what's magical, right, is that when you open the lanyard, the orientation is flipped 180 degrees for you to easily hold the lanyard up, and the whole event schedule is printed there.
I like the idea because not just functional in terms of being a lanyard, but it's also a good souvenir for you to take home and remember it by, since you keep it for the past few years, right? So at least when you look at it, you like wondering, I went to this event, when I flip it over, okay, these were the things that they spoke about during the event.
And then
you get to recall your experiences that you were there. It's really nice.
It's like a memento, right? It's just a great reminder to take care of the small details when you design stuff. Because that's really a indication of a very well-designed conference. Yeah, and apart from the amazing content they offered, it is really like the cherry on top of the cake. Yeah, so enough about what we think, right? We want to hear from the public as well. So what we did as designer is to research. Our research method is a short survey split into two parts. A simple profiling, just to see if we can find any trends with our findings. The meat of the survey is the other half. So the first question we ask is, now that social restrictions is lifted, are you ready to join in-person meetup? Yes, no, or it depends. And in your opinion, what makes an A-plus meetup?
Yeah, we got how many people so far? 30? Yeah, we got 30 people.
Yep, mostly from designers, aspiring designers, researchers, developers, PMs, account manager, which is very nice for diverse opinions. So what are the results? Half gave a yes to joining meetups in person, 40% says it depends, and 10% said no.
So Trent and I, we actually gathered the insights and we actually group it into five different areas. So first is agenda. Second is speaker content. Third is food. Fourth is venue space. And lastly is crowd. If I can start for agenda, basically, we find that people are very particular about having interesting agendas. They want genuine relationship building. More than just superficial networking. One of our listeners, Sham, she said, the meetup should have an anchor topic, not just a one-size-fits-all networking event. So another point is that people, they are looking for a more compact program. Timekeeping seems to be a common mention, more focused and in-depth than just like loose agendas. I recall the ADP list one, it was a very loose agenda. It was just for networking and that was it.
Yeah, it feels like people just want more focus to anchor on. It's like a peanut butter bread. You know, when you spread peanut butter, right? No one wants a thinly layered peanut butter on a gardenia bread. It has to have some sort of thickness, some sort of substance to it, right? Like more depth than breath. But the takeaway, people just want substance, right? Than just a quick dip.
Yes, I think that's the word. They want more substance. I like this point by one of our listeners, Serene, when she mentioned about she wants organizers who have put thought into designing the event experience itself, understanding who their audience is, wayfinding to venue, quality checking, speaker presentation content, and technical runs. I think what she's trying to say is she wants a well thought out overall user experience, right? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it draws back to my UXSG conference memory. Yeah, like all the little big details that the event organizers have put their thought in really goes such a long way. Yeah. It's like you're saying, right? You know, like good design is invisible, but the impact is priceless and very inspirational once you notice it.
Precisely. One other insight, networking or shameless self-plug for company is a no-no.
Yeah, I guess people are just kind of sick of all the hard selling. You know, there are just some sharings or keynotes that end with, by the way, we are hiring.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, and it just discounted what they have presented prior. The message to me is that you are presenting all this, right, just cause you want to publicize for this specific job opening. It immediately just feel very transactional.
If that's the case, then how do you think they should do it? I guess not wrong for them to do that, because I can understand from their perspective, they are trying to attract designers. They put in a little call to action saying that we are hiring. Because for example, even from friends of Figma, yeah, I got it right. Listeners, if you want to know the joke, please listen to the first episode. Yeah, so as mentioned, yeah, so from friends of Figma, sometimes when they have an event, they will actually advertise in a FigJam board.
Yeah.
They will say, oh, we have a job board. For anyone who is hiring, just put in your job roles there. So I was thinking, I don't mind that actually, because for example, for me as a designer, if the topic itself attracts me, I will join. And then if I look at the GD, if it's interesting, I might apply. But if not, I'll just ignore it. I skip it. I don't find it shameless self-plug for the company. I guess it's no choice. Yeah, because how else is the company going to approach me, right? Yeah.
I have 2 points here, which kind of supports what you mentioned. A dedicated job board, right, would be the way to go. Yeah, because that's where we embrace being more transactional, which is nothing wrong. But my point was about meshing the job promo together with a presentation. Yeah, I personally don't subscribe to that because I feel like there should be a dedicated space for both job promos and the talk. Yeah, so if you as a speaker, right, deliver an impactful presentation, I believe people will follow up and approach you for potential job openings.
I do get what you mean. It parallels with if someone is trying to sell you something. It's more of the technique lah, basically. But yeah, it's a good idea to have a dedicated job board. So at least it's not so aggressive into your face that, hey, anyway, we are hiring, we are hiring. Come on, join our company.
Yep.
The last is awkwardness is a real thing. A lot of people actually requested for combo starters. Another listener, Esther, mentioned, make networking less awkward, maybe with icebreakers. Otherwise, people just stand around and stare at each other.
Can relate. Yeah.
What kind of combo starters do you think would be great for this kind of event?
Let's say it's a design-related event. Maybe just a fun one. Like, hey, do you name all your layers in Figma? It's just a very geeky way for everyone to start speaking up.
Do you remember this icebreaker where they will assign you a number and then maybe you are number one and I'm number two and then the person is number three and then they will say, okay, all number one, please gather and go to that corner of the room. All number two, please gather and go to this corner of the room. Do you have that experience before?
My experience with that is when I was in secondary school during PE lesson.
Yeah, when I saw this insight about convo starters, that was one thing that I thought of. But maybe that would be more useful for ice breaking. But anyway, why not, right? Once you ice break successfully, you can eventually start a conversation.
Having this very curated agenda, right, to get people to mingle really helps introverts. Speaking as an introvert myself, right, I really, really appreciate. For a short while, I'm part of a tribe. So I feel like I belong. Rather than me just sitting in a sea of people, and then you know that there are other people who are coming in with your group of friends, right? It just makes you feel even more lonely, like, why am I here? Like, can someone just come and talk to me?
Let's move on to the next second insight. In terms of speaker content, they would love to have speakers with credibility. Serene mentioned not necessarily renowned, but who have a track record of actually getting their work implemented rather than just high-level talking. Another one is speakers who are UX practitioners, but perhaps they are also able to give tips for people who are career transitioning. The topic on career transitioning is very hot right now. There's a lot of people transitioning into UX, right? So I think it would be really helpful if there were people who actually gave that sort of talk during an event.
Yeah, and I think it ties in really well with the next insight on speaker and content, which is telling more stories, more so than sharing your success matrix. What we hear from Kyle, she said that I would love to learn more about design leaders' journey towards being a designer and getting to the level that they are at now.
I will be actually very much keen, not just on that, but also on design leaders who transition from being an IC to a manager, meaning they were individual contributor back in the day, and then they level up to become maybe a project manager or head of design, where they do more management work, you see. I will be very much keen to listen to them, how they struggle, how they maybe had to learn on the go about leading people, whether they miss doing their craft, maybe some spicy stories. I don't know whether they are allowed to share in the first place. Yeah, it will be very interesting to know, because I'm sure there are other designers, senior designers or maybe lead designers who are interested to level up. Maybe they just want to know what is the journey like being in management, or should they just stick to being an IC?
I totally agree. It reminds me of the last time I was listening to just a bunch of podcast episodes on the side. I wasn't really paying attention. And then there was this individual who was also talking about the first time she transitioned to a managerial role. That's nothing new, right? But she was sharing the first time she ever has to fire someone. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that was, yeah. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that is very, very juicy. Let me stop my work and listen to this carefully. Yeah, because this is a very personal thing. And she shared a lot of emotions. Like the first time she has to go through the challenge to deliver this message to the specific individual.
I think this links very well to this insight from one of our listener, Ro. Yeah, so Ro mentioned vulnerability first. I will probably relate to your mental state or the problems you face, especially the problems you cannot solve. Wouldn't that be something? A meetup about airing the problems we can't solve.
Don't even have to share about how you overcome it. Just sharing it. And there will be people in the crowd who can relate to you. And they don't feel as lonely that they are also going through similar situation. Personally, I like people really exposing their vulnerabilities. What's your take on it? Is it too much?
I think it has to strike a balance. I don't want it to be end up like a ranting or complaining session as well. It should, at the end of the day, it's a safe space for people to talk about their problems that they face at work as a designer. At the same time, it'll be a learning platform for other designers to take note of. The next is, everyone is sick of rinse and repeat content.
What we hear from It's Me, Alistair. All caps, by the way. Not literally the same goddamn subject matter being talked about over and over and over. We need design to have a seat at the table, blah, blah, blah. Tell me more about the sound design in some obscure thing in your app. Give me the good shit, man. So when I saw this, I was like really laughing because I can feel his emotions. It all boils down to, let's just move on, right, with the very overly discussed topic. So I guess it kind of pairs very well with the vulnerability, right? Let's talk more about your daily struggles, more so than the very high level topic. The last point that we get is MC and moderator with great personality.
Yeah, so I agree to this, because when you have a moderator or MC, he is the focal point, not just for the host, but also for the audience. The great personality-wise, I think is a bonus. But as long as the person can communicate well, can speak and articulate well, that is the best trait to have.
Right.
The personality will come in later.
I guess a personality is more of like, they are the carrier of the branding. Because they are the ones who deliver all the messages. How you deliver it, right, will sort of depict how people think of your event.
Okay, so on to our next point, food.
Food!
Yay, everyone's favorite topic. So based on our insights from the survey, nice food will make people definitely happy. Quality of your food says a lot about your event. We would like to have no frozen eclair.
No more frozen eclair. We need to start a petition. Maybe it's just the two of us.
Maybe. One of our listeners actually included here an insight on Canadian pizza, no thanks. For my point personally, I think it would be great to have inclusive food. What I mean by inclusive is, whether are there halal options, whether are there vegetarian options. I really have no expectations usually. Normally, sometimes when I go for an event and then they say there's food, I would just be, okay, if there's halal, great. If not, I would just have to go and find my alternative. Yeah, so normally if an event specifically even labels that halal section or comes up to me and say, oh, anyway, there's a halal section for you, it's over on the other side, then I will feel really, really honored. I feel really, really, it says a lot about the host, because all these details matter, like you mentioned before, right? The details matter, the whole experience. So all these details actually add on to my own experience as someone who is coming. I feel included. I feel that I'm being taken care of. I don't have to worry about my dinner. I don't have to worry where is the McDonald's? Where is the nearest McDonald's? Or where is the nearest 7-Eleven? I can go and grab something to eat.
It's about the level of sensitivity, right? As an event organizer. In order to attract a diverse group of audience, your amenities, your food has to support that as well.
We have one insight from one of our listeners. He mentioned food is a bonus shock factor. It's good for doing something and be less awkward, so you don't appear nervous and standing around and fidgeting.
I remember I was at the ADP List meetup and I was completely alone. But the food wasn't open yet. So I have no outlets for me to just escape to. At that time, I already had drank like 2 packets of peach tea. I couldn't possibly take another. So I was like, when is the food opening?
Anyway, for our fourth insight is venue and space. We gather that most people, they put a lot of importance on convenience. They want a space where it's easy to locate by public transport and not so noisy when you are listening to the other person.
And I think this kind of ties into one of the points that people want to really make very intentional relationships with other people. So it's very hard to do that when the space, it's not conducive for you to comprehend what each other is saying. And the convenience part also, I plus one to that. On the flip side, right, let's say it's inconvenient and then I make the way to go to an event and it's not organized properly or it's overcrowded, right? It adds up to the dissatisfaction.
Or the food is not nice.
Or there isn't any.
And then you will start to think, I travel all the way here just for an event. It's so inconvenient for me to come here. Yes. And I sacrifice my time and my dinner time and you have no food for me.
No food.
And it's so overcrowded.
And it just really, it really stacks up. Yeah. So I think convenience is really the foundation, right? Like usually people will look out for the location because most of the time they come after work. Is it convenient for me to travel from wherever I'm working at?
One of our listeners, he had actually mentioned a safe space. He said that it would be great to have a safe space to learn and build relationship with attendees. Cozy space for the magic to take place. I really like how he phrased it because sometimes when you have a safe space, attendees will be more likely to open up and you start to lower your guard down and then open up a bit more about your experiences, about your struggles, and then maybe you learn. So I think these are those magic moments are what elevate the whole experience. Then when you come away from the event, you really feel like, wow, there was such a fulfilling event I went to.
It's a shared experience, right? Everyone happened to be in the same space. Ties back into the vulnerability part. If the agenda allows us to be vulnerable or allows us to be more genuine, right? It's almost like an equation. Agenda allows us to be genuine. Space is conducive for us to have very intentional conversations. Then magic happens. Looking forward to something like that. I don't think I have ever been that in the longest time.
Hopefully whoever listens to this, maybe they will do it for us. Or maybe people will come back to us and say, why don't you guys organize it?
Yeah, since you already did the research.
Just to give a recap. So first was agenda. Second was speaker content. That was the food. Fourth is venue space. And now fifth is on crowd. Based on our survey, basically, there was some insight saying that it would be great to have a diverse, young and older experience in the crowd itself. One of our listeners, Alex, mentioned, I have always enjoyed meetups that include a diverse range of people, young and old, experienced and just starting out. I'm thinking particularly of Urban Sketches SG. Have you heard of Urban Sketches SG, Shuen?
No.
Okay, so maybe let me give you a brief explanation. So Urban Sketches SG is basically this group of artists who will gather and then they will go to a location at a certain timing that they set and then they will sketch out the location and apparently I think they will do a bit of show and tell.
I quite like how, you know, people think of meetups as urban sketches as well. Because when I think of meetups, I think more around, you know, UX meetups. But I guess there are also meetups for other kinds of interest in Singapore. And maybe there are some things that we can learn from them as well, like how they organize their events.
Our next point is basically on a smaller and more intimate crowd. So some of our listeners who took the survey mentioned that they would prefer to have less than 20 attendees, 6 to 10, 6 to 20 for good conversations. I personally feel that having smaller and intimate meetups will have more in-depth discussions. Mm. You are able to spend more time with the person you are talking to, yeah, and not just like rushing off from this small clique to another clique and then trying, yeah, to introduce yourself to another clique, and eventually you forget who you spoke to, yeah, because there's so many faces. Yeah.
In the 30 results that we received, more than half mentioned small intimate crowd. So that kind of says something already. And I think that also ties in with safe space, having that very curated space to go in depth with a topic.
So that's our 5 main insights. So maybe we get started on the big takeaway.
So one of the big takeaway, ironically, is small but powerful gatherings. Everyone seems to prefer smaller, more intimate group sizings for more meaningful connections and more in-depth conversations.
When you have smaller but powerful gatherings, you can enjoy the food as well.
Yeah.
The second point is food is a two-way thing. Good food is best. Is definitely an enticement. It says a lot about event without saying anything. Mm. So the quality of your food actually matters. Food is also a medium to combat social awkwardness, assist introverts to network.
Yeah, and also an escape route. The last point, vulnerability, genuine and authenticity over network. It seems like people just appreciate raw stories and lessons so that they can apply it to their own situations in life or in work.
So I hope that we have covered a lot for you guys, and maybe this will be useful for other event organizers, even for your maybe little networking sessions. Please don't forget to invite us.
Maybe we should come up with a scorecard next time based on the insights that we have. You know, like hawker centers have the ABCD for their hygiene, right? maybe next time we should print out the grades as well. A for you. Thank you.
That's a very cool idea. I imagine the two of us being very official, like coming, okay,
evaluate the lanyard. Food, evaluate. With the two-layered lanyard.
Yes, with the lanyard, and you can, you know, you turn the lanyard and then you can see the score then there, the score. Scoring there. And then you can score it, okay? Sure, you go and settle the food. I will look at the crowd.
Did we just create a new job? Singapore Meetup Assessor.
SMA.
SMA, another acronym. Yes, it's official now. It's official.
Thank you guys for enjoying our little talk here. To tell you guys honestly, this time around we had a lot of technical struggles.
Yeah, we will try our best to fix it post-production. Yeah, but we are just sharing our struggles here. You guys want vulnerability, right? Applying what we have just learned. What else? Yes, what else? No, does it mean that our listeners will go down to just 6?
Why 6? Oh, because... But this is not a space. So thank you guys for listening to us. Look forward to our next episode. As usual, if you have any feedback for us, just reach out to Adila, me, or to Xuan. Yep. So each of us, we are handling a Twitter account and an Instagram account. If let's say you personally know us, you can also drop us a DM on LinkedIn as well. Thank you so much for being here.
See you in day 3.
Yes, day 3.
Bye.